All right, how we doing? Is the frost off of us from this morning? I started my car this morning. I thought it was going to blow up on me. Like, for real, it didn't want to do anything. Actually, that was Heather's car, so. that was fun. Anyway, again, this morning we're continuing in our series, You Asked For It. And this week we're kind of tackling a topic that we got a lot of questions on. Not one or two, but like six or seven. And it's on the topic of kind of tradition versus Bible. That's kind of the summary we gave it for the title today. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good discussion. Again, minds open, hearts open for the word, and we're going to get right into it. And we kind of picked, this was good timing for the baptisms this morning, because we're just going to start off. Let's start off in prayer, and then we'll jump into the first question. Father God, Lord, thank you again for your word. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you for the questions that you laid on your people's heart. And Lord, I pray that you just allow your spirit to use myself and Pastor Steve this morning just to communicate some truth in a sensitive but in a firm way, and allow us to grow from that truth and grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Again, so the topic today is kind of tradition versus Bible. I think there's a big difference there, and we're going to get into that this morning. It's a topic that we like to discuss because it's something we face on a weekly and daily basis, even here, even in this church, but definitely in churches around the country. But really, the first question, again, is good timing. We had two baptisms this morning, and we had a couple questions about baptism. So we're going to go ahead and teach on that this morning. I know some of you, we may be preaching to the choir here, and you've done all the studying, probably more than we have, but the question was asked, so we're going to go ahead and address it this morning. So the first question just said, please explain baptism, adults and children, in a Baptist church, and how is it different than others, etc. I'm guessing they mean other churches. So
I can only speak from...
I'm going to throw the ball to you.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this first of all. There's a lot of questions about Baptist questions, and I want to say this before anything else. We are Bible before we're Baptist. Amen? I mean, we are Bible before we're Baptist, and so I can only speak of what I've experienced, and so I'm going to speak on behalf of the churches that I've been a part of, the denominations I've been a part of, and then Dave's going to go ahead and talk about, you know, more so probably the Catholic side, because I wasn't raised Catholic, and he has more insight on that. So am I starting?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so the question is, please explain baptism.
In a Baptist church.
Child versus adult. I can tell you a story. We're talking about tradition overruling the Bible. And so I just want to start off with this story. My first lead pastorate position in Arkansas, had the privilege of leading a young lady to the Lord in our Awana program. Awana meets on Wednesdays. Sunday services are on Sundays. And so this girl, you know, typically in our Baptist style services, if a person desires to be baptized, they would walk the aisle, they would speak to the pastor, and the pastor would let the church know what the person was interested in doing, and, you know, the church would kind of okay that. And I understand and I see, you know, that, but on this one occasion, I had this young lady who didn't have an opportunity to come down the aisle because she wasn't in our Sunday morning worship service. She was in our, you know, Awana program. And so we had, you know, I talked to my leaders. I told them that we were going to be baptizing her, no problems. Got her, you know, just like this morning, getting ready to get baptized, go up to the stage, actually, you know, introduce her and let the congregation know kind of what happened in the Wednesday service before. And I thought everything was okay. And we're about to get ready to baptize. And one of the leaders, deacons of the church, stood up and said, Brother Steve, that's how he said it, Brother Steve, we can't baptize this young lady. And I said, kind of strange, like, why? What? You know, right in front of everybody. Don't ask later, just ask right now in front of everybody. And so Brother George, why, well, I didn't say his name, why can't we baptize so-and-so? Well, the church never voted on it. And now here's the problem I see with tradition. It starts off with a good thing, but then it turns into something that goes against Scripture. Nowhere in Scripture does the church have the authority to vote on someone's baptism. That's not our authority. We have the privilege of being able to baptize people as they profess Jesus, but there is no vote involved. I mean, it is a command, amen? So what are we gonna say? This person desires to be baptized, and we're gonna say no? I mean, so that was my first kind of experience with tradition versus a doctrine, doctrine being a teaching of God's word. I don't see how a child who can't even talk right, you know, can make that profession of faith. And so we tend to dedicate children, and that's more of a parental responsibility than the child's, instead of baptizing babies. So go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would just go maybe a step backward. Just, again, baptism is a picture of what's happened on the inside. It's an outward appearance or outward showing of what's happened on the inside of that person. So once someone has been saved and has confessed Jesus as Lord, that baptism is an outward showing to the church, to the people, what's happened on the inside. That's it. It's not a you're saved because you got baptized. That's not it. That's not what we see in Scripture. And again, you know, I can go back to, I was christened as a baby or baptized as a baby in the Catholic Church. I was raised Catholic, so I can kind of speak on that. I know there's a lot of you that may have been raised the same as me. And I really, growing up in that faith, I was never really taught why we did things the way we did things. It was just the way we did things. And that's what we're looking at when we're talking about tradition. It's just kind of the way we did things. I was never really shown biblically why. Maybe somebody could show me why Catholic tradition is the way it is. But in particular with baptism, I kind of found this interesting, and I studied it a little bit, and I just wanted to share with you. A lot of people point to a couple portions of Scripture that they use to kind of defend infant baptism, and I just want to talk about that a little bit. There's a couple times in Scripture where it talks about a whole household being baptized. You can look at the account of Cornelius. I believe that's in Acts. There's another account in 1 Corinthians. The house of Stephanus, I think, was another one. The house of Lydia was another one where it said that people heard the gospel, you know, they were preached Jesus to the family, and then the whole family got baptized. And a lot of people will take those pieces of Scripture and say, well, if there were babies in that family, then obviously then the babies got baptized. Y'all follow me? Y'all tracking with me where I'm going? So they'll kind of take those couple pieces of Scripture and really kind of try to make it work for infant baptism. And I had to study it a little bit. And really what I found was, first off, there's a huge assumption made by people that take that point, take that stand on infant baptism. There's a huge assumption that there were babies and children in those families, because it doesn't say it in the Scripture. So there's just a huge jump right off the bat that, well, how do you know there was a baby there or an infant there or a young child that was baptized? It's a huge assumption. And then secondly, when you read those pieces of Scripture, and maybe I'll post those online for you to take a look at later, but there's an assumption, and there's the language is written so that it assumes that there's people there who can not only hear the word, but have the ability to understand the word. So in those pieces of Scripture, it clearly shows that the people have heard the gospel and that they were capable of understanding it. And then they went ahead and were baptized. Does that make sense? So that's kind of where we are as far as why do we not do an infant baptism here in this church? And in a Baptist type church.
Right.
Does that make sense? Okay. Anything else?
You take the next one.
Oh, you want me to take the next one?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know what to say on that.
All right. So that covers that question. If you have any more, come and see us. And we're, again, we got a bunch of questions, so we're going to kind of keep it moving. So here's another one, kind of was came out of the Roman Catholic faith here. It says, why don't we as Baptists cross ourselves as the Roman Catholics do? Okay, they do that, you know, the chest cross. Yeah. I mean, if you could show me in Scripture where we're supposed to do that, then maybe we would do that. Again, this is we're on the topic of here, tradition versus Bible. Do I necessarily think it's a bad thing to do? Like, I would say no, but again, it's a traditional thing that's done in the church. I was never taught why we did it. We just did it because that's what you did. So again, we always have to look at what does Scripture say? What does Scripture show? And then when we have traditions, we need to be careful not to put tradition on top of Scripture,
right,
or even into Scripture, and put it on the same level of Scripture. So why don't we chest cross? I don't know. We just don't see it in Scripture as a necessary thing to do.
Right.
Does that make sense? I don't know how to go any further with that.
Okay. Does anybody ever see it in Scripture? I just might have bypassed it. I never saw the, you know, which way you're supposed to. No, okay. Yeah.
It's all right. Father, Son, Holy Spirit this
yeah.
time. I can't get it out. It's locked in me. Okay. Awesome. That was a quick one.
Yeah.
All right, next one. The next one is, when should Holy Communion be done in the church? And again, I think we're going back to a little bit of a Roman Catholic base here, because they call it Holy Communion, and that's kind of one of the sacraments in the Catholic Church. Is that you, John?
Yeah, I wanted to make a little clarification. Not that I believe in crossing myself either.
Right.
But I have heard an explanation of why some people do it. It simply is that they say with my mind, my heart, my whole being.
All right.
Okay. Gotcha.
There's a lot of people who claim that they are Jesus Christ, but Christ himself said, you are either with me or against me.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That makes sense.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Again, so when should Holy Communion be done in the church? And this is, again, I went through Holy Communion in the Catholic Church right around, what is that, second grade or so? And that is the first time that I received the body and the blood of Christ in a form of communion. So when should it be done in the church? And I'll throw it over to you.
All right. The only form of communion I know is the Lord's Supper. So I guess that would be my idea of biblical communion, holy communion, whatever you want to call it, Lord's Supper. You know, I believe biblically Jesus gives us the example of exactly what communion is. And that being a remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. He did institutionalize it. He did make it something that is applicable here today. There's a lot of ideas of when we're supposed to. And I'm just bypassing the Holy Communion. I'm making a right turn past the Holy Communion because I don't know. I think, and I'm thinking I may be wrong on this, I think Catholics push the teachings that they do based on the belief that they have in reference to working for your salvation. And so it starts from the time you're born. You have to be, baptized into the church. You have to take part in all the sacraments. You have to, go to CCD and all these trainings and all these different traditional types of things. They may not be bad things, but the problem we have with tradition is we have to make sure that it is biblical first and foremost. And so I think the problem is because of the works-based salvation, you have to do that.
Y'all understand what that is? I know most of y'all do.
In order to be saved, you have to work for it. You have to perform. You have to do certain things in order to keep your salvation. And so I think sometimes the Catholic Church, you know, in their teaching, that's a part of their teaching. And so that's why we have all these different types of things. But with communion, Holy Communion, I don't know, communion, the only other term I can call it from Scripture is the Lord's Supper, and that is, again, an institutional supper that memorializes what Jesus has done for us, the bread being the broken body of Christ, the blood being the juice, wine, whatever, we don't use wine here. But the thing is this, it's just a symbol. It's just a remembering. It's a cracker, doesn't have any special power, doesn't turn into the body of Christ and turn you into super Christian. The blood doesn't, it's a symbol. It's a time that we can remember what Christ has done for us, and that is simply, that's it. So.
And how often biblically would you say?
The Bible says as often as you do it. Some churches do it every week. Some churches do it every month. We don't have a set criteria here at Grace. I feel like we need to do it more. Sometimes I get preoccupied, but, when is that time? I don't ever want it to be something that just becomes...
tradition?
Exactly. An everyday thing. It loses its meaning. It loses its power because we know it. At the same time, we should not never do it because we need to remember what Christ has done for us. So the Bible says this, as often as you as a church do it in remembrance of me, period. That's it. So that's my answer to Holy Communion.
That's good.
From a Bible standpoint, I don't know.
Cool. All right.
You're going to talk about denominations?
Do you want to?
We can.
Sure. Let's go back to the Baptist thing.
Okay.
Baptist or Bible.
Right. We're Bible here. Now, of course, we associate with the Baptist because I believe that some of the things that, not all, but some of the foundational things that Baptists teach are Bible, period. That's the reason. It's not a Baptist thing, it's a Bible thing. And so we do identify ourselves with Baptists. That's a good thing, and it can be a bad thing. And let me explain that real quick. Should I give them the example?
Yeah.
In a sense that we identify ourselves as Baptist, we have support from like-minded churches. Churches that believe the same way we preach, because of our associational, section, connection, whatever you want to call it, we have the support of Baptist churches. Now, the problem with that is some Baptist churches say, if you don't do everything that we do, like we do what we do, you're not considered a Baptist church. I don't buy into all that. Example, Baptist up here has a very bad name. Someone say, what kind of church are you? Baptist. Oh, I'm out. I'm running away. Like, we're weird. I understand that. So one of the things that we, being on the field here in New Jersey, noticed was that when people asked us who we're affiliated with, it tended to give people a bad name. People were like, I'm not giving you a shot because you're of that kind. Well, they don't know who we are. They've never been out here before, but because of what their preconceived ideas are about Baptists, that's what they thought about us. So one of the hurdles that we had to, overcome here on this Jerusalem field was to bypass the word Baptist and to identify ourselves as church, not necessarily a Baptist church, but a New Testament church, a Bible-teaching church. And so we did a name change. We started off as First Baptist Church of Beckett was the original church's name. We replanted it with the Jersey plant. Then it went from the Jersey plant to Grace Baptist Fellowship, Grace Baptist Church, and now we identify ourselves as Grace Church. Reason being is we pick Bible over Baptist. We pick Bible over denomination. We do, like to have that association, that connection with other churches that are like-minded. We had an experience like that last week with First Baptist Church of Swedesboro. Like-minded church believe the same things about the core doctrinal teachings, and because of that, we share harmony and felony. When I took Baptist out, so I was trying to get to, when I took Baptist out of our name, some of our Baptist supporters cut us off just like that. You took Baptist out of your name, you're not a Baptist church. We didn't change anything we taught. We just changed our name from Grace Baptist Church to Grace Church, and that was a big problem for some people. So good and bad. I think all denominations, none are perfect. I think God looks at all denominations and says, some of you got this thing. Baptists have a hard time worshiping. They don't understand what worship is. They're all stale, out of rhythm. I'm just telling you, man, they don't know how to make a joyful noise without, upsetting God. Like, we're gonna get struck down because of lightning. And I think they're too far on the left. Likewise, Assemblies of God, Pentecostal churches that are more, they can worship God. You know what I'm saying? And so I like to think that God sits up in heaven. He looks at all these different denominations. And he's kind of shaking his head like, y'all ain't got it figured out. But someday you will. And bless your heart for trying, And so that's kind of how I look at the Baptist thing. But we are not all hung up on Baptists, as far as Bible comes first. We are Bible before we're Baptist. We have done some things here that have offended the Baptist denomination because we chose to go with what the Bible said, not with what tradition says. And so that's how we are here.
That's good. And just to reiterate with the whole name change, some of y'all might have been here when we went through that, and some of you may not have. But again, that was just an experience that a situation that we experienced here. And that's not, that doesn't mean that it's bad to have Baptists in your name, right, or, you know, anywhere else. Anyone else who wants to have that is great. But that's just something we experienced here, that we were missing out, literally missing out on the opportunity to preach Jesus to people because they saw the word Baptist in our church name as they drove by, you know, as we were on social media, as we were reaching out into the community. Again, we align with the term Baptist because scripturally that's where we are, you know, when it comes to doctrine, because we see the Baptist doctrine as close to scripture as anything. But again, the name thing, that's just something we experienced here. So we decided to forego the Baptist in our name so that we can get past that hurdle of people not even wanting to walk in the doors about having the wrong idea about what that name means.
The first church didn't have First Baptist of Corinth. It was just the Church of Corinth, you know what I'm saying? So all these different, these are all man-made type things that, you know, seclude, and they're good things, but I don't think there was a, quote, Baptist church versus a Methodist church and all that. You know, there were churches that preached truth, so.
Good. Cool. All right, next question. Got a couple minutes. This next one, I think it is referring to worship. That's all I could really gather from it. And this is what it says. It says, has God not blessed you, parentheses, congregation, so why does the church not praise him? And again, we kind of threw this into our tradition versus Bible section because I really think this is kind of pointing towards worship and either a style of worship that we do here as opposed to maybe another church of how they do worship. So I guess we can kind of just beat that back and forth a little bit. Just from me, why does the church not praise him? I think first off, we need to talk about there's different ways to worship Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And everyone may not worship the same way.
Yeah.
So some people may be more outward in their worship, and some people may be more inward. I do think it's a good thing. I mean, it says it right in Scripture, you know, to sing out loud and praise out loud. I think that's great. And I challenge those of you here who struggle with that to really, really think about that and really give it a shot one Sunday morning of just raising your voice and singing. You know, you don't need to have the greatest singing voice. I mean, look at Pastor Steve. And he just goes for it, you know. But first off, you know, with this question, that's kind of where I go to is don't think that just because someone is not outward and really outward, and I don't know how else to say it, don't think that because someone isn't real outward in their praise that they're not praising Jesus.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
Anything you want to add?
Yeah, John, stand up right quick. John, embarrass you real quick. Stand up. I appreciate you, brother. Give him a hand. I'm going to tell you a little story about John. If you don't know John, you hear John during the worship service. And we're not putting John, you can sit back down, we're not putting John on a pedestal here, but I would like to use him as an example in reference to what I have experienced from my side of the Baptist church. And I think we have similarities. If you've been brought up Catholic and if you've been brought up Baptist, the idea of worship has always been a very reverent, respectful, you know, still, salute, military style, very... And that's been ingrained in us. I mean, even in the Catholic Church, I think there's similarities that the Catholics and the Baptists experience in reference to worship. Now, you're right, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. And so it would be wrong for me to say, if you don't raise your hand and if you don't say amen, then you're not worshiping God. I don't believe that's true. But at the same time, a person like John, who is passionate about his Savior and who's not afraid to scream out his name, man, that encourages me too, because here's the thing I want you to understand, and this is a true story. There was an older lady, I'm not going to mention her name, who was very reverent in her worship, and that was great, you know, but here's the problem. When you start imposing your style mm-hmm. on somebody else, that's legalism. Yep. That's legalism. When it doesn't, the Bible is clear about making a joyful noise, doing it with the right heart, singing a new song, doesn't have to be all old, and various instruments besides the piano and the organ. When they first introduced the piano and the organ to the church, man, you want to talk about bad, because the piano was used in saloons, in bars. And at that time, it wasn't, you know, introduced to the church. And so you want to talk about some people fixing to get stoned, like throwing rock, like
can't. Piano player, first to go?
Piano player. But now, you know, but here's the thing. Listen, you know, here's what I don't understand. And maybe y'all can enlighten me. And I'm not talking about people who aren't children of God, people who haven't placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But if you're a child of God and Christ has saved you from your sin and he's given you life, shouldn't you be excited about that? Yeah. I mean, here's the problem I have with, and everything needs to be balanced. I believe you can go way too far to the left and get crazy, way too far on the right and be crazy. But there's a middle ground, I think, that God wants us to find. And I think that if we could understand, you know, here's the thing, you know, I see people that are, quote, reverent in their worship, yet they go to a ball game and they act like a fool. Or, you know, a concert or a recital or a musical with their kids, hooting and hollering like crazy. But when they come up, you know, you know what I'm saying? So if we can do it in the natural towards things that don't pertain to God, why can't we do it for God? Here's the problem. If we don't learn how to do it now, we're going to have a big problem when we get to heaven. Mm-hmm. Because it's not going to be quiet. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a time of worship. And if we can't figure out that now, and if we can't step out the side of our, you know, step out of our box of comfort or what's somebody going to think about me. And at the same time, it's not, you know, if God, I think Heather says it well for us as a church, you worship how God leads you to worship. You know, everybody's welcome to worship the way that they want. And if that's you just closing your eyes and being still in the presence of God, praise God. But don't push that on somebody else. If yours is, you know, rock and roll, smack and eat, we're not mosh pitting up in the house of God. That's our balance. You know, we're not going that route. But, you know, if you're passionate and vocal about your worship and somebody's not, don't look down at them thinking that, you know, their worship is wrong, because worship is all about the heart. It all centers around our heart. And so, like Heather says, whatever way God leads you to worship him, as long as it's scriptural. You know, I don't believe smacking each other and punching each other in the face and being false. I don't think that's scripture. I think that's chaos. But if it's scriptural, man, by all means, go with what the word of God says, not with what tradition says. So
that's good. Let's just wrap up with just kind of going back over, you know, let's, again, the dangers of tradition. And let's just finish where, you know, with that. And Steve had kind of, I love Steve on social media sometimes. He kind of puts a little prod out there. But he posted something earlier in the week kind of about tradition and how, you know, here at Grace Church, Bible trumps tradition. And I felt led to share in that post just a thought that I had, and I just want to share it with you guys, is that if you come to this church to worship tradition, as in if you come to this church to worship all those man-made traditions, the crossing, the unison prayer, all those man-made traditional things, if you come to worship that, you're going to be disappointed here at this church. But at this church, we focus on one thing, and that's worshiping Jesus, however that looks to you, and hearing from the word. So again, I think there's a real, again, I don't think all traditions are bad or dangerous, but there's a point when we start to impose where if somebody else is not following that tradition, that they are in the wrong and that they can be downright sinful, right? And again, that's that term legalism, where you impose something that is not scriptural onto somebody else, and if they're not following that to a T, then they're in the wrong.
And the beauty of the beauty of the New Testament church is each church is unique to itself. So that means if there's a body or congregation of believers that love tradition, and they just like it, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's bodies out there that, you know, would fit your preference, your style, but there's some people out there that say, you know, tradition seems to kind of get in the way of what God wants to do sometimes, and so we're not about that, and that's all we're communicating. We're not saying that every traditional church is of Satan. I don't believe that at all. There's many churches that associate with us that are very traditional, and they love God, and they worship God, and that's great, and I think that they're doing a wonderful thing, but that, you know, here's the thing with us. God has done everything from, we started off with four people. We didn't have praise band. We didn't have a style. We didn't have anything when we first started. We had the word, and that
weren't
was
you,
it.
Weren't you singing when you started?
Chrissy was. I was up there, but I wasn't really singing. I was making a joyful noise. But God, here's what God did. God rose up a praise team through this church. And so God, I didn't do this. God did it. God formulated a group of people that were musically inclined, that had the same heart in reference to worship. And he set that up, and he's using that and has been using that from day one. And so I'm not going to, some people come in with the idea of they're going to change us. Well, they don't know, so we're going to make them traditional. Look, I'm not doing anything that God doesn't lead on. So if God does something and uses something and continues to use something, I'm not touching it. I'm just going to look at it. I'm going to participate in it, and I'm going to give glory to God because he's using those people. And so that's, you know, why we do what we do here. It's not us saying that we're trying to be anti-traditional. We're just using the people that God has sent us in the ways that they are. And so that's kind of how we are and who we are, how we are.
And again, we're not the kind of church that's going to say, if you're not doing it our way, then you're doing it wrong. That's not the kind of church we are. And we pray that more churches throughout the country would have that same respect. And I think the kingdom of God would just explode, and God would be glorified through that. Cool. All right.
We're past.
That was a lot, tradition versus Bible. Again, Bible over tradition.
How many more weeks do we have of this?
Like five.
We've got five more weeks of this, a lot of questions. After this, we're going to go into a series on the fruit of the Spirit. Looking forward to that. I'm going to ask Dave to help me on that as well. And so, Dave, I just want to commend Dave. This is outside of my box. I don't sit. I like to spit, preach, sweat. Teaching is not my forte. I'm not, like, he's the teacher, and so that's why I've given him this ball, because he does it so much better than me. But I want to thank Dave for taking me out of my traditional comfort zone and allowing me to grow. So thank you. I appreciate that, man. Good Absolutely. Stuff. I appreciate you guys for being here. Let's stand together. Don't forget, as soon as we're done, if you can stay and have a piece of cake. I know that Lori brought a cake for the people who were baptized, and so if you want to stay and have a quick sugar fix before you leave, you're welcome to do that. Any other announcements?
Teens are on for tonight. I took my wife out on Friday night, so I'm good. I took care of it.
All right.
So teens are back on for tonight. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, once again, thank you for just allowing these group of believers here and non-believers even to just come and join together and worship you this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can use it every day just to learn a little bit more about you and to learn the ways that you desire us to take. So, Father, Lord, thank you again for the questions you laid on your people's heart. And, Lord, I just pray we leave this place with the idea and the knowledge that when it comes to tradition, that if it's not based in the Bible, Lord, that's where we need to go first, that we need to put Scripture above everything else. And Lord, just allow us to move forward in that and freely in your Spirit, how it leads. Thank you for what you're doing here at this church. Thank you for drawing people close to here. Thank you for the baptisms, Lord, of the decisions that people have made just to be saved and then to follow you in scriptural baptism. We praise you for that. And Lord, we just lift our hearts to you. Just allow your Spirit to lead us this week. We pray all this in Jesus' name, the church say, amen.